today, The Homecoming. An elderly gentleman in Homburg, top coat and gloves, swings jauntily into number 264 Seacliff Drive, the Barber family home, where he makes a routine entrance.
Honey, I'm home! Yeah, where's Daniel?
They aren't back yet. The plane's late.
Oh, what was wrong with it?
Well, all I know is Paul called from the airport and said Daniel's plane was late.
Oh.
Here, let me take your coat.
No, I've got it. I hurried to work so I could come early. And this? Was that the back door?
I didn't hear it.
Mom?
Claudia, I thought I heard it. Come in.
Oh, I see. You quit the office now that Dan's home.
100% wrong. Came home early to hear Daniel's report.
Of course, then you simply bowled me over. If it's true, no wonder Hazel decided to stay.
Huh?
I mean about Mary. Oh, I can't wait to hear Dan's version.
Well, what about her?
Oh, for goodness sake, didn't Andy Barber tell you?
I haven't seen Andrew since Christmas. It's all I can do to get him to talk to me on the telephone.
Oh, well, Andy came over to see Nikki yesterday, and he had a letter. I don't know whether it was from Cliff or Mary, but Mary's going to have a baby.
Oh!
That is, with luck.
Huh?
Well, after all, she's 39. This will be her first child, and the doctor's put her to bed.
When is it due?
Not till June.
Why the bed?
Well, she's had trouble before.
Nevertheless, it'll be a boy.
Oh, now, Henry, don't get your...
It will be a boy, Fanny. It will be the second boy in the family to carry on the family name. By Joe.
I'm dying to find out if they expect twins. After all, Cliff and I are twins.
Twin boys! By George, Fanny. In that event, we'd have three boys to carry on the family name.
Henry Barber, now don't you dare count on this. Yes. Twin girls are every bit as likely. Look at Jack and Betty. They had triplets, but all girls.
I won't hear of it. Not when I have only one grandson to carry on the Barber name. Out of all this swarm of grandchildren, only one Barber, and he doesn't like me.
Oh, now stop that. You sound like Pinky.
Yes, I'm glad Hazel stayed. Proper thing to do. Nothing shall go wrong with this if I have to go to Scotland myself.
Oh, listen, someone came in.
Hello there, Father Barber.
Oh, yes, Daniel.
Look at you.
Well, it's good to be home.
What a beautiful suit.
Hoyt Tweed. Parkworth and Woolen Mills, made in Scotland.
Where's Paul?
Well, Paul had another errand. He'll be right back. Well, I have no end of messages from Cliff and Mary and Hazel. Oh, let me explain right now why Hazel thought she ought to stay.
Is there any chance of twins? That's what we want to know.
What? Who told you?
Yes, answer my question.
Andrew had a letter from home.
Not that Andrew told us. However, he told Nicholas, who told Claudia, and she told us. This Daniel sits out. Now, Daniel, tell me, what does the doctor say?
Well, he's quite a nice old-fashioned family physician. And, anyway, hold on to your hat now, Father Barber. Twins wouldn't surprise you.
Twin boys! Yes, Andy?
Henry, now.
As a matter of fact, Cliff took out twin insurance last November.
Now, that was intelligent.
Well, it was Mary's idea. And I think, right from the beginning, knowing about Jack's triplets and Hank and Pinky and the fact that Claudia and Cliff themselves are twins... Mary's been bracing herself for something pretty special. The truth is, she's valiant as she can be, but she's scared.
Oh, poor darling.
So she needs somebody there, and Hazel decided to stay. I'll miss Hazel like the dickens, but Mary tried to do too much one other time, and they lost the baby.
Oh, nobody told me.
Well, they didn't tell anybody, Father Barber. Mary's quite a girl. She believes in announcing the victory after the battle.
Yes, I approve of that.
Well, now then, where are our twins?
Hank is at the hospital working in plastic surgery now. He's Captain Hank Murray.
Yes, I know. And Pinky, what's he doing? Father Barber?
Henry, why don't you and Claudia make some tea? Daniel will want to hear all about Pinky, and I think it'll be easier for him if we're all alone.
Murray sits with his hands on his knees, intent on his father-in-law, as the old gentleman sums up Pinky's most recent adventure.
And so, while the family rallied around and dug up no end of jobs in the hotel line, Pinky felt that Greta would be most pleased if she found him working at a job he got himself. So, he stayed on with the Municipal Railway Company in spite of better propositions.
You don't mean to tell me he actually wants to be a gripman on a cable car. But this is going to break his mother's heart.
Well, he's not a gripman yet. Nowhere near it. You have to work up to it. It's a demanding chore.
But what's he doing, Father Barber? What is his job right now?
I wish I knew. He manages to fog things up so you'll forget you've asked. But let's look at the affirmative side. He is working. He is actually getting paid. He leaves here early and comes home late.
Well, nothing wrong with that, but I won't write his mother about it.
How did she take the news of his marriage?
Like a blow from a croquet mallet right between the eyes.
Yeah.
It poleaxed Hazel. There we were waiting to hear that Hank and Greta were married. And then we got that absolutely incredible message. Love from Pinky and Greta. Gloriously happy in Reno.
Yeah.
Will you tell me how it happened? That's what Hazel wants to know. How did this happen?
Maternal instinct, maybe. Pinky needs help.
No, I'll say he does.
Paul says we've all pushed Pinky beyond his capacity. Perhaps being a gripman on a cable car, perhaps that's where he'll shine. Banging that bell, working those levers, risking the passengers' lives up here and down.
While his wife flies over the North Pole.
Yes. I hate to say this about your grandson, or your stepson and my grandson, but Pinky is a lightweight, Daniel.
Yeah?
Yes, he went through $1 million less taxes and wound up with nothing. And that should be all we need to know. Yes, now then, about Griffith. He's a big success there, eh? Daniel?
Well, he's got a good job, Father Barber. The Farquharson people like him very much.
Yes?
He has a world of charm, you know, same as always. In fact, he's the first one you meet when you go into the mill.
Oh, a sort of a greeter?
Yes, you might say so. Beautifully dressed, nicely mannered. Cliff makes a wonderful impression. And this girl he married. Oh, Father Barber.
Good, eh?
She is a wonder. You know how Cliff is.
I get it. Henry Barber speaking. Oh. Yes? Oh, yes. Yes, he is. Daniel, for you. It's Mrs. Queenie Swan.
Oh, thank you. Hello there. Yes. No, Hazel stayed. Well, I just got home. And my father-in-law and I are just starting to talk business. I presume I'll have a good deal to catch up on.
You'll be very, very busy.
He says we're very busy at the factory. Well, I would like that sometime. All right. Yes, well, thanks for calling. Wanted me to come to dinner tomorrow night.
Put around the chair. We've talked business right now. When I tell you what's been happening at the factory, I think for the next few weeks you'll want your dinner set in on a tray. Andrew, well, it wouldn't bite me. Daniel says that Dr. Gerd McCullough expects twins. If so, they'll be boys.
You're slicing over the top.
Fanny, invite Andrew to dinner. Call him up now and invite him for later in the week.
Why?
This time I think he'll come. My optical sublime.
One Man Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 18, Book 134, Betty Lowers the Boom. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California. Madeline Carroll stars next in The Affairs of Dr. Gentry, as our 2 hours of drama continues over most of these stations.